whole story of this conference was quite interesting for me because we were in the School of Arts and Communications, and me and Stefano Oderico would always kind of moan about how what we do is getting marginalized, which is kind of cultural studies in some aspects or other. And there's other colleagues who are broadly involved in this. It is all going towards other things, different things independent, you know, for each of us, but still away from what we think is interesting and important. So we thought, let's do something together to kind of say something to the institution. Like, here we are. We are doing something truly collaborative and interdisciplinary, which is what you all say you want. And look at us, you know, here we are. It probably won't make no difference at all. And also we've been moved out of that, my group, it's not religious studies, you know, philosophy, ethics and religion, have been now moved into the education area. And so we're even further apart than before. So I don't know if it's going to help our future, which is what we originally had hoped, I mean, within the institution. But what inspired me in the end was actually here, I went to their session that was organized by them on the interactive documentary filmmaking. And I was so inspired, like, even while they're talking, I was writing ideas about how I could use this methodology, both with students and in my own research. And it just got, I started writing pages of notes and talking to those other people that were in there in the room. And we were all just getting so excited. And I hadn't felt that in a long time in a conference. And it was just with my colleagues who, like, I see every day, but not actually heard what they do, you know, at length.
Yeah.
These are the conversations that are possible
in
this space.
And so it was a kind of a new methodology that I thought I could investigate and maybe employ, you know, interactive documentary filmmaking.
I have just been agonizing about sending a tweet suggesting that I could throw out my whole syllabus for my religion media course next semester and just show people all the cool websites and digital projects that we've been talking about in this course instead. And obviously I would never do that because that's irresponsible, and I don't want to suggest with my online brand identity that I would do such a thing. But we just had a fantastic presentation from Michael Dudek about his Temple of Artifice art project, suggesting that we can learn about how religion is constructed by constructing religion, which I thought was a really interesting catchphrase. And I would just like to sit a lot of students down and then watch that for about 10 minutes together and all go, what just happened? And then maybe just call it a day and get some coffee.
Religious studies looks at the place of religion in contemporary society. And I, as an anthropologist, my focus is in particular on the current world, state of religion all over the place. And technology and social media and internet also has space for religion. Therefore, in order to study religion in society today, we also have to look at technical forms, digital media, and digital representation of religion. Therefore, it is interlinked. We cannot separate it.
What's most inspired me would be, like this sort of thing that's going on right here, all the different interpretations of the word media. We've had mediums, we've had media being interpreted in terms of podcasting, video, performance. We're going to have a performance in this session. I think that's probably the most inspiring thing. It's been a broad but useful orientation around that term media.
Never heard the idea of religion as medium before. That was interesting in Michael's presentation. I mean, I don't know what to make of it, but it's, at least it's something I've never heard before, which doesn't happen that much.
Well, one of my research projects is spirit possession. And spirit possession is also very visible in certain type of media, in film and on TV and in social media. Voodoo, one of the religions I study, is so misunderstood and so often misrepresented in media that sometimes I can't watch a movie, or I have to stop watching TV because I'm getting so angry because of the misrepresentation of religion. And this is where I think we need much more research to be done in this area.
There are lots of very interesting connections, and I'm interested in the disconnections, I think, as well. I think we do focus quite a lot on the connections because it is an emerging, thriving, exciting approach. And I think sometimes it's helpful to think about the ways in which those things could be on connecting. But I think I'm still really, really interested when you see people using technology as an individual to make points of connection. I'm interested in that relationship between individual sense of identity or belief and practice or worldview, whichever term you prefer, and how we engage, manipulate, use technology for religious reasons to connect. And I think that kind of comes from some of my work on reading practices. We think of reading as quite an individual practice. We're in bed, we're in a bath, and, you know, we're curled up on a sofa, and actually we often read to find connections. So I like mapping that, I think, and seeing how technology can generate or cultivate forms of connection in places and in ways we didn't really anticipate. And I kind of also like the way in which, again, I'm kind of thinking about reading, is when I was doing my stuff on reading practices, everyone was going, but no one's going to be reading books in 5 years. We're all going to be just reading digitally, and we're all just going to be working from other forms of word. It won't be the printed book with hard things. And then I'm just like sat here, and I'm not taking notes on my laptop during this conference. I tried that. I've gone back to pen and pencil. And that massive shift with kind of as a reading practice hasn't happened, or it hasn't sustained in the way. So I'm interested in when those connections kind of break and we revert back to technologies, because they're all technologies, they're all embodied, material, touchy, feely stuff that we use to make sense of our religious beliefs.
Something I really like about this year's BSR conference is the emphasis on technology, but particularly in terms of examining cultures and the ways people interact through technology. Something that I think more scholars should look at if they are interested in doing so is the ways people use the internet to communicate and the communities that can emerge from the internet, and the ways people who may not necessarily meet one another out in, let's call it, the real world, but are given a platform through which they're able to assemble communities, often fluid ones, and explore meaning.
I think I saw it through a lot of this through students' eyes. So, you know, I was program leader for religious studies, and the problem that we had here was that all of their options were in theology because I was the only religious studies person. And they some of them did, but not all of them wanted to deepen their theology studies. They wanted to do more either religious studies or something like that. And so I saw the natural partnership was media, film, and culture, because they did cultural studies, media studies, and the kind of analysis that I was doing with the Druids, you know, with the media sort of discourses around Druidry and indigeneity, and also the category of religion when the Druid Network became registered as a religion by charity commissioners. And the students also were interested in those topics when I'm teaching them, you know, looking at religion and media topics. However, it was very difficult in the way that the programs are structured in this institution for us to do that. And so students could only do it by request ad hoc. And we wanted to do a joint degree, but it was during the time when they were trying to avoid any joint degrees because of issues of timetabling and various other things. And then also there is the issue, I think, about how we're all, who claims the student, you know, is the student media or is the student religious studies, if we were to do a fully joint degree. And this is a problem, you know, like with numbers, because numbers are important now. As the latest HEA report came out, and now we are going to review those numbers and find out what the real story is. Okay, so I saw it that way, but also in my own research, I was also using a lot of photography and things, and also I did a project with Newfoundland artists over indigenous representations. And I thought it was an area that a lot of people were dipping into, but not really maybe thinking about it full on as an interdisciplinary area.
I guess it, for me, it's more of a pedagogical thing, if I've said that word correctly, because I find the new technologies and stuff great for teaching with. I've had great success engaging with students, even though, like, I talked about a video game in one of my classes, and I used that video game to explain Marxism to them. Even though they'd never played the game itself, they understood the medium of the game, and they engaged with it on a much better level. So I like that development. It shows vitality and life to the field, that you can bring those two disparate fields, that it's not just... Religious studies is not just, you know, a bunch of crusty old white men sitting in libraries reading texts from 2,000, 3,000 years ago and arguing over how you translate one particular word. It shows new energy to the field, I think.
The study of religion in society is at the core of society. This is why I started with anthropology. I started with totally different questions, but I moved more and more into anthropology of religion. I really believe in my heart that we cannot understand a different culture, different people, without understanding what they believe in or what they are not believing in. We have to understand secretism, atheism, non-believers. We also have to understand people who are passionate Pentecostals or passionate voodoo souls, and we have to understand what they really... what motivates them to do certain actions, and therefore we have to understand what they believe in. This is why I think study of religion is at the core of understanding society.
I had traditionally come at it as a kind of cultural critic, that these are useful ways to sort of, I guess, to analyze the kinds of cultural sort of discourses and representations and things like this, that you can always sort of evaluate them and critique that. Because I did start off with my PhD with the discourse analysis kind of approach. But I think since then I've been doing a lot more, doing things differently. And in some cases, sometimes it doesn't even look like religious studies. Some of the Newfoundland work, like when I was doing the one with the artists, I was thinking, I'm not sure this is actually religious studies anymore. You know, I don't even mention the word religion once in that whole project. You know? But I'm talking about the experience and interests of the artists and why they were representing indigenous, this particular indigenous group.
We get that a lot, don't we? Why, and what's the point of studying religious studies? I don't see the point of not studying religious studies. I tend to turn it back on people asking that question. Well, why not study religion? I really don't understand how you can think about contemporary society without trying to account for the role of religion in the way it shapes, or non-religion, religion and non-religion, the way it shapes, again, individuals, practices, beliefs, communities, values, politics, the world, the media, popular culture, all of those things. How can you kind of understand where you are unless you understand the way, the roles that religion has had in kind of getting to where we are in contemporary society? It baffles me that people don't think it's an interesting subject. And I think as well it's such an interdisciplinary discipline. So we've got scholars here who can comment on popular culture, ancient texts, contemporary rituals, new practices. So it's such an interdisciplinary kind of vast array of approaches and questions that we bring that I just don't... it baffles me that people think it isn't related to contemporary society, quite frankly.
We have a very difficult year just passing, but also ahead of us. Religious studies is under threat, in particular at universities here in the UK, due to the restructuring of funding, the the disinterest of the government to support humanities, and unfortunately religious studies is one of the targets. To a certain degree, I think it is a misunderstanding of politicians who put us in one pot with theology and think we are all doing the same, and they are so many theologians at the university, why do you need religious studies? They don't realize that we are two different disciplines. And therefore, there is a threat of reduction of funding, sponsoring, also raising awareness of our discipline. Religion is also studied by historians, by people who study different languages, by philosophers, by people in geography and in other disciplines. And often there is a lack of understanding that we are also discipline. And that in order to study religion, you have to learn something about our discipline.
The name religious studies I have a problem with. And it's an awkward category no matter how you try to phrase it and put it. Whether you call it the department of the study of religion or the program of study of religion, how are students going to recognize it? Calling it religious studies, you know, is always... complicated, because at schools, like in Catholic schools, they call what they're getting religious studies, and it's all mainly Catholic tradition, not even other Christianities. And so this is a big problem, and also because of the historical legacy of it and what they call it in the US and what and those things. Science of religion, of course, it sounds just awkward in British ears, I think, to call it that from the German tradition.
The pressure on that comes from when students taking at GCSE to A level through to university level uptake. Like, what are we doing that's not selling religious studies as a discipline? I think that is a real challenge. I don't want to say it's an inevitable decline. I don't want to say it's a massive threat, because to do that, you can add fuel then to that fire. Those kind of words get associated, and we don't think about the positive ways in which maybe capacity is building. But I do worry about the hostile environment that is there at the moment from policy, legislation, around the usefulness of RS, or how we can quantify it in terms of employment statistics or graduate statistics. That worries me immensely. I think organisations like the BASR, TRS UK, Sociology of Religion, we do need to kind of work together and galvanise a little bit to raise the profile of theology and religious studies as subjects that are inspiring and equip young people, and equip all of us with critical skills and just an interest in the world. So I'm worried about that. I'm worried about the state of our discipline in terms of career progression for early career researchers, for postdocs. I mean, that's kind of more widely than TRS. But I do worry about it in terms of gender and representation of scholars of colour in our discipline. I worry about that. That's a structural issue. And I think it's up to us to try and amplify those voices, make space for those voices, and to try and address it.
Are you feeling any concern about the ref next year, John?
That's fine. You don't have to be.
Because my current contract finishes, I think, before the actual ref happens, so I believe I will be submitted if I'm useful, but I don't have to be. Were I in the lucky position of having a more permanent job, I probably would be worried about it, but at the moment it doesn't really affect me.
Yes, very much. I thought 2014, study of religion was quite well positioned. We were nearly half of the panel members came from BSR. So our subject was quite well represented. And people from other subjects were quite angry with us and managed to get people elected after the deadline, because they made quite a fuss. This time, unfortunately, it went the other way. Currently, though, there is another member of the BSR in the first stage of the red panel. This person doesn't feel really representing BSR. I was the only one who again and again mentioned BSR and religious studies, and we cannot that we are include so many different approaches that this has to acknowledge, and it isn't. And so with REF, the REF decision, the scoring of outputs, the scoring of environment statements, will be done by people outside our discipline. And I'm hugely concerned about this.
What does REF mean anyway?
I'm reasonably concerned, not because I doubt the quality of scholarship happening in religious studies at the moment, because I know a lot of great stuff is happening. But I'm concerned about the REF in terms of the elitism that stems from it, sometimes how predictable it can be which universities end up at the top and which end up at the bottom. More often than not, it relates to how much money each institution has. I'm also concerned for the place of the study of religions in the in higher education in general. I hope it's not the case, but some people say that religious studies may break down and people may filter into departments of sociology, anthropology, and so on. I'd like to see the study of religions thrive. So in that sense, I am quite concerned.
Yeah, I worry about what TEF does to some of my colleagues and to some of us in some institutions. I worry about the ways in which it's being managed, the pressures that are put under some colleagues are put under. I've had colleagues kind of say that they've left a REF meeting with a line manager and they're feeling ripped apart and in tears, and that nothing short of full stop is kind of good research. Worry about that. I'm very concerned about the metrics. I'm concerned about what information is going to be used for, where it's going to go, how it's going to be manipulated. And that's, I also kind of think we have peer reviewed ways of being accountable for our work already in process. So, but I do think we do need to be accountable for the work that we do. So I'm kind of torn between that, really. Me personally, I think I'm just really fortunate that at Chester it's been a very collegial process. We have worked together to work on a system in which we are assessing each other's work, but it's done in a supportive, kind of critical way, and there's collegial decisions being made about who's in and who's out. And I've been mentored just to try in the ways that I'm kind of prepared for REF. So I didn't publish my first book in time for the first REF I was in. I was told, well, hang on a second, you don't need to do that, and you wait till the second REF. So I worry about what it is doing to some people in some places, and I don't want to give it too much kind of credit and time. There are huge problems with it, but at the same time, is it the system we're in, and how can we work best with it? What are the ways we can work best with it so that colleagues can be supportive to it rather than pulled apart and stressed?
Am I concerned about REF 2021? On so many levels. I don't even know where to start from, like, the conceptual level of how REF goes about gathering its data, to what it thinks is good data, to what it thinks impact is, to what it's then done to university systems who are effectively trying to game a system, to the fact of Brexit impacting that as well. Because I'm sitting here being like, I've been trying to get a job for 5 years, and my best chance now is Brexit goes ahead and a bunch of foreign academics get kicked out of the country by a xenophobic government. I mean, how dire is that situation?
One important issue is raising awareness for our discipline. When we go to other conferences, when we go to a conference organized by other organization or conference bringing in people from different disciplines about a topic, we need to make sure that people realize we are speaking also for our discipline. Therefore, when I go to, for instance, Caribbean Studies or Brazilian Studies Association conference and speak about my research, I make sure that I come from anthropology, but I speak now for religious studies. And so I show the method and approaches we do instead of religion when I speak to people in Brazilian Studies or in Caribbean Studies. And I think this is what we have to do. We have to raise awareness. We are not just a topic, we are a discipline.
I mean, obviously, one is interdisciplinarity. Like, who can we link up with? Because I linked up with an anthropologist and got funding from the British Academy to do the fieldwork with them, or the the project in Newfoundland with Newfoundland artists. And I think, I don't know if I would have got that on my own. Mm. So it helped that, you know, I had an anthropologist from Edinburgh, John Harris, who was able to do this with me. And I think finding those kinds of partners in other institutions that may be a different field is attractive. So that would be on the research side. In institutions, it's really difficult now because we don't decide programs. Managers decide programs in some way. And it's a very difficult thing now to get a program off the ground or any kind of collaboration. Mm. And so that means religious studies numbers can shrink out of existence. Standalone courses in religious studies, they're not that many. We heard that maybe only 4 or something that might still exist, at least on the paper, according to AGA or something. Mm. But there actually might be other courses that are coded differently that are religious studies. Mm. So that's my biggest fear, is that the undergraduate numbers will shrink out of existence because of the way the inflexibility sometimes in institutions. Mm. And maybe even inflexibility on some academics' part as well, to try to enshrine the subject area as it is, or as they had it when they were undergrads. Mm. Yeah.
The Religious Studies Project is sponsored by the British Association for the Study of Religions, the North American Association for the Study of Religion, and the International Association for the History of Religions. The Religious Studies Project is produced by the Religious Studies Project Association, SCIO, a Scottish charitable incorporated organisation, charity number SC047750. Brought to you by editors Brianne Fallon and David McConaughey, and founding editors Chris Cotter, that's me, and David Robertson, that's him. Our features are edited by Rebecca Barrett-Fox, with marketing managed by Benjamin Marcus. Our Opportunities Digest managed by Ella Buck, podcast transcription by Helen Bradstock, and social media managed by Ray Radford. Don't forget, you can support the project by using our amazon.com.co.uk and .ca links, or donating at patreon.com/projectrs. And you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, iTunes, and other portals. Thanks for listening.